You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Dance Off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hey there, hi there, who are there? It's another Friday evening for Hey Kids Comics. Martin Bruder here.
Chris Ellis.
Chris Gilpin.
It is our last show of the winter session.
Yes, it is.
We're broadcast out of the lovely facilities of Trent University Radio, Trent Radio. So their programming follows the school session. So we got a fall session, we got a winter session, and then the summer session. And this is the last show until May 10th.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Should be good.
Yep.
Should be good. In keeping with that, I thought it'd be a good thing to announce. I'm sure you folks have noticed that Mr. Chris Ellis is with us again today.
Hello, everybody.
In the summer session, because both Dan Collins, Sam Tweedle, Chris Gilpin, and Martin Bruder are lazy butts.
Yep.
We've asked Chris Ellis and Adam Bishop to come in as some supplemental hosts for the show.
Fresh blood.
Fresh blood. So there'll be six of us on a regular basis. Well, three in the studio at a time.
Yes.
We don't want a good, we don't want four in the studio, let alone six. I mean,
snuggly.
four.
Every time we have four in the studio, it's a complete disaster.
Yeah, complete.
So, what's going on in the world of comics?
I finally hit my to read pile.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
right on.
Thankful for that snowfall on Sunday.
Oh yeah.
It was a good opportunity to sit down and read for like 4 hours.
Nice. Jeez.
Yeah, I'm still only about a quarter of the way through that stupid read pile, but that had to happen sooner or later.
Yeah. I gave up on mine. Really did. Like I'm looking through my to read pile and I'm like, okay, this is a good opportunity. I haven't read Amazing Spider-Man in 9 issues. Gone off the pull list.
Uh-oh.
I haven't read Justice League in like 7 issues. Gone off the pull list. Justice League Dark. Off. Justice League Odyssey. Gone.
Yeah.
I was just cutting books. Martian Manhunter. Gone.
I saw that. You were trimming pretty hard.
Fantastic Four. Gone.
I mean, your trim list is like 4 times as big as my pull list. So
it was, well, how many was it? Was it 12?
12,
issues?
I think you said.
Yeah,
I think it was more than that, wasn't it? I don't know. I'll look it up here if you guys can talk.
Yeah. That is pretty close to some people's pull list.
No, it's just ridiculous. There's just so many books and it's just all sitting there. Like I got a short box beside my bed, full. I got a small stack on my nightstand with Aishe Han's Vladisaurus on top.
You haven't read that yet?
It's not in the bag. It's been sitting there with my reading glasses on top of it this whole time.
Oh, you need to read that.
And I think I read like the first 4 pages and then it was like and then saying, okay. And that's not in any way a condemnation of Shay's writing. That's me being old, tired, and decrepit.
Now help me out because I have trouble keeping up with everything. That's new or?
Yeah, that's the one that just came out at Toronto Comic Con.
Number one?
Yep.
Number one.
So what was the one that was out a couple years ago that was?
Gladiosaurs.
Oh, Gladiosaurs. Sorry. See, this is why I need help. Okay.
It is tangentially related in the same way that Kevin Smith's 3 Canadian movies are related. Yoga Hosers, Tusk, and what was the other one?
I don't know. I haven't seen either one of those.
The one about the moose. Moose Jaws?
I don't.
Yeah. I think it's called Moose Jaws. It's not out yet.
I heard about
that's
Tusk.
Why I don't know what it is.
Tusk. Have you not seen Tusk?
No, I've heard it. Sounds pretty freaky.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. This guy literally kidnaps a young reporter, and he starts sewing his legs together, breaks his legs, and sews them together to form like a tail, like a fin.
Yeah.
Cracks his arms and sews his arms together to make flippers. mounts these fake tusks in his mouth with dental-like appliances. Oh, and geez. Cuts his tongue out and starts feeding him raw fish. It's got nothing to do with comics, but man, is it epic. It is something else.
Well, it's kind of connected. Kevin Smith, he writes comics.
He does. Once in a while, anyway.
Well, he did do a story in Detective 1000.
Oh, did he?
I did read that one, yeah.
That's in my pile.
Jim Lee. Jim Lee.
That's in my pile. I haven't touched that.
I skipped that one over. I looked at it. I picked it up. I'm like, man, that's a heavy book. But
I'm pretty sure I'm halfway through, and I'm pretty sure I haven't seen any ads yet, so...
There's ads in it?
No, that's what I mean, that I don't think there is, right? Mm-hmm. So, $10 for a book with no ads, that thick, that's not bad.
Well, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, but that's not bad.
I think it should be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has taken me this long just to fire up Facebook on my tablet. This was the best question, and I don't want to pick on David, but the question was, thinking of getting into Astro City, thoughts on where to start? Issue number one.
Yeah.
Sarcastic jerks that we are.
How many volumes are there?
Oh my gosh, you can't even guess. There's a ton. I read the white trade paperback, whatever one that one is. I can't even remember which one that is.
I don't think I've ever read a single Astro City.
No?
No.
It's pretty good. It's a good series. I just haven't had a chance to get into it.
Did Ross do some of the covers for that?
Yeah, Alex Ross did he did the trade paperback one anyways that I read. I don't know if it was...
Yeah, there. I think the single issue, some of them have him on there too.
But the best part, Star Bastard number one came out. Right. Did you guys pick that up?
No.
No.
What? What?
I have enough to read.
Oh my gosh.
Good, bad, or ugly?
It's hilarious. Andrew, I'm going to mispronounce his name because I don't have it in front of me. I think it's Clemson, but it's out of England. He wrote it, and him and I chat on Facebook once in a while. And I was involved in the Kickstarter. And it's basically this kind of mix between, I guess it's more like a... Saying Firefly is probably giving it just the... It's an adult science fiction space book.
Okay.
You know, and it's got like a snarky captain and a hot... First officer and the captain. What was that? What was that name of that cartoon? That 3D cartoon with the big purple space captain.
Big purple.
Space captain. It was like really adult. His sex robot was his sidekick and.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh my gosh, that was funny.
I can't remember the name of it though.
Yeah, but this reminds me of that, and it was like I said, it was Kickstarter and stuff. Issue number one came out. Andrew, what the heck? It came out in this weird format that didn't fit any bag.
Oh, no.
You know, it was too wide for one bag. And then if you got the other bag, it was too tall for that bag or too short. I ended up making like a custom bag cardboard box to fit it. Fortunately,
it fits in a regular box.
Yeah,
though.
It got it's. So issue one came out through Kickstarter. Issue two came out through Kickstarter, if I recall correctly. And then it got picked up by Scout Comics.
Okay.
And issue one came out last week, and I kind of looks like issue two's this week. Like maybe they're catching up.
Where did you get it?
At Great Guardian. Okay. But I mean, I probably special ordered. I might have only been the one guy to ask Alex.
Might be at CBA, maybe.
Might be at CBA. Yeah.
What's it called again?
Space Bastard.
Space Bastard. Okay.
And it's from Scout Comics. Hmm. The same guys that do. Is it Scout Comics that does Stabby Bunny?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
also strangely. Funny kind of twisted series, that one.
Strange, Weird, and Demented.
I kind of like that one myself.
Everybody says I should get into it. I haven't gotten into it yet.
It's expensive to get into the first series.
Oh, yeah?
To the first run, yeah.
Is that like Zombie Tramp?
I have no idea. I've never bought one of those.
Oh, my gosh.
But, it kind of hit the trend, so everybody was kind of spiked there for a bit. So you're like $30 for the first issue kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, you know, like Jason Liu, when he did... Pitiful Human Lizard. Mm. He did the first few episodes at Lou Harvest Group, self-published, and then it got picked up by Chatfrost. Same thing happened with Zombie Tramp. So the first few issues were like these weird convention-only exclusives, and then the next series were a little bit more better distributed, and then the next series, the third series, was really well distributed through Action Lab, I think it is. But those first few issues of the very first series, Holy moly. Don't even.
Yeah.
According to our research department, a.k.a. Christine, she says Space Captain McCallery? McCallery? I don't know. Yeah. That's
no.
No? No. Doesn't sound familiar to me, so she's fired.
I don't want to curse on air. I don't know if you can use, like, weird curses on air or not, but I think his name was Captain Chode.
Yeah, it was something weird.
No, I'm serious. It was like, I don't know. Now we're all going to, like, do the ADHD thing and completely ignore the radio. We're just going to start, like, investigating.
Crazy names possible.
Well, I'm going to talk about Jason since you brought him up, yeah.
Yeah, do it.
Because he's the end of Pitiful Human Lizard.
I saw that.
I cried. I dropped a tear.
Well, I mean, the amount of work he's put into that, like pictures of him on his living room floor with pages all around him and inking and all that.
Oh, yeah. That guy has an incredible memory, too. Like, every time I see him once a year at the Toronto Con, and he's like, hey, Chris, how's it going? And it's like, dude, how many guys have came by already, and how do you still, like, remember my name?
I am a few issues behind. I haven't bought an issue in a while, so I will have to complete the run now,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I have all the physical copies, and I think the last few came out digital only, but I heard rumors that they might be available once, not mentioning any names, certain companies get their
act together.
What is it called? No, I'm trying to remember what the term is here. Help me out here.
Print on demand.
Print on demand. Yes. Once they get their print on demand thing going. There it is. Tripping the Rift.
That's it. Tripping the Rift.
Tripping the Rift.
Christine's fired.
The big
purple. I'm just going to stare at this 3D rendition of it.
Oh, yes.
Of a comic book character.
Yeah.
Tripping the Rift. Tripping that was a funny cartoon.
Yeah.
But Space Bastard reminds me of that a lot.
Okay.
And it's great art. Like, the art's fantastic and stuff like this. And so it's fun. I'm glad it's getting published by a mainstream publisher. Should be good.
Yeah.
There you go.
What else? We had some drama at Paradise Comics.
Yeah,
does anybody know anything about that?
I know nothing.
Only what Dan posted.
Yeah.
I think about Buddy taking the keys and running or something.
Yeah, I think that's a comic shop that's a little outside of our radar zone. So
yeah.
But I guess just like the local beer brewery here, what was the brewery around here that had a problem with some manager was doing one thing and the owner was doing another thing and people didn't understand. There was a lack of communication. People weren't getting paid. Other people were getting overpaid. And so some kind of craziness is happening out there at Paradise Comics.
Yeah.
I've been to the store a couple of times, but the only real exposure I have to them is at cons or if we go to the warehouse in Pickering, and a lot of the books have Paradise Comics stickers on them.
So. Yeah, because I think what happened is one of their locations closed or something like this, and that's where Guardian picked up a lot of their initial stock, buying that stuff out.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know what the deal is there.
Yeah.
But it was interesting, anyways, to see the comments without context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then AureliaCon. Is it AureliaCon? Mr. Santos, there's some problems out there.
I didn't read too much on that.
Somebody's not getting paid, and all the like major creators that went up to the con are like complaining about not getting paid. And, somebody else, I think it was Ty Templeton's partner, she was saying something to the fact that they were promised a room and they didn't get a room, and instead they got like a college campus room that they have to share. Well, it's got bathroom.
The word in a room, the word room in it.
You know. So I feel like there's some problems there.
There's too many cons.
Too many cons.
I don't know specifics, but I've heard little rumors here and there about the store.
His store was Dr. Comics, was it?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I've heard issues, I think, with that one. So.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, stuff happens, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, you start getting a little bit behind financially because people aren't picking up their pull lists, not mentioning any names. And you know, cash flow problems, and the next thing you know, they got issues. They got problems, legitimate problems. And whether they handle it correctly or not after that, that's up to them.
Yeah. Well, you can see how much they can tie up in inventory just sitting there waiting for somebody who promised to come pick it up.
Not mentioning any names.
Yeah. I'm up to date.
I'm not sure who you're referring to.
Not mentioning any names. Everybody in this booth. Yeah. And everybody who's not in this booth right now. Slacking idle bags, all of us.
Yeah. So, Walking Dead, comic and TV show.
Yes, I have so far behind.
On the comic or both?
The comic, the last time I read the comic book was Spike episode.
Right.
With all the spikes. And I heard a rumor, I'm one episode into this season, but I heard a rumor that the Spike episode happened.
Just two episodes ago. The finale was last Sunday.
Yeah.
But the episode before that was the Spike episode.
Yeah.
Are you Walking Dead?
Was.
Hardcore. Yeah. Used to read the books and everything.
Did you get up to the pikes, I guess they call them?
I won't lie. I only read up until pretty much Negan was high on the scene.
Okay.
I'm only... he came in around issue 100, I think, right?
That's where Glenn was killed.
Yeah. And then... So I think I have up to like issue 145 kind of thing. So, it just started to drag a little for me. And it got to be not so much about The Walking Dead, but The Walking Alive.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the show was too. And I'm like, you know what? This really is just not doing it for me. So,
Well, let's circle back to the comic in a bit and go back to the Pike. So in the comic books, the Whisperers, the people who wear the zombie skins and whisper, the whispering zombies, let's find them, to send a message of this is our border, do not cross it. In the comics, they killed maybe a dozen, I thought it was more, but looking at the, doing some research, about a dozen people.
Okay.
And put their heads on pikes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Vlad the Impaler. Yeah.
Yeah. And the big shocker there was one of the heads was Ezekiel.
Oh, okay.
And the other one, big one, was Rosita, who was currently pregnant at the time.
Oh, okay.
So they were pretty, that was, you know, two pretty big shockers. And there were some minor characters, too, that they showed.
Yeah.
I think there was one minor character in the TV show that was also in the comic book, I believe.
They're laughing because somebody on this computer changed the date to 1904-05.
Oh.
And I started typing it was the 19th of April. And I'm like, wait, it's not the 19th of April? What the? So now I had to start counting with my fingers and I've distracted everybody.
It's okay.
But the TV show, I mean, it's 2 weeks ago, so spoilers if you haven't watched it yet. But they didn't kill Ezekiel. Rosita is pregnant, but they didn't kill her. But they did take out Enid and, come on, research, Christine, help me out here. there was a boy, here we go again, my memory. The boy, in my mind, he basically replaced Carl because everything that he was doing, like the girl Lydia from the Whispers, it's the daughter of the main, of Alpha, the main Whisper, Carl and her are still a couple in the book. But, of course, Carl isn't on the show anymore. So this other kid, Henry, thank you, Christine. Henry, he was basically took over Carl's role. So he was, you know, falling in love with Lydia and, you know, and Alpha knew what was going on or whatever. But they took him out too. Hmm. His head was on a pike too. I was like, okay. So that's cool. Like, it's shocking.
Yeah,
but I was really shocked because I thought for sure he was the flow through for Carl, right? But he's gone.
But the show is coming to an end, right?
Apparently not. Apparently they're gonna, you know, they're gonna take it out as long as they can.
I think they already have.
Yeah, like charge up the paddles.
Look, they're jumping a shark.
There was another. You know, the TV, every week, it's like ratings fall on Walking Dead. I think part of that, I think it started when they brought the tiger in.
Yeah.
People are like, what? I get it's a show about zombies and dead people, but why is there a tiger running around with the guy who calls himself the king?
Yeah.
I think that was kind of a big, I mean, people were ticked off when Negan took out Abraham and Glenn, but still, they say that, like, the next, apparently the big thing that on the season finale was they finally had snow.
Oh, really?
And I've been saying that forever, right? Because in the first 10 issues of the series,
yeah,
they went through a winter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never been a winter on any season of The Walking Dead.
No. Well, they are in Georgia, so, I mean, snow's kind of rare, right?
But... yeah, yeah. But, Tara. Tara was the other. So Tara, Enid, and Henry were the big three, I think, that they took out. The other ones were a few of the kids from from the kingdom and stuff. It wasn't too crazy. But mm-hmm. So there were still three, you know, three main characters that they took out from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So it was kind of shocking. But so back to the comic. Oh.
Have they put Daryl in it yet or what?
No, no Daryl.
No?
No Daryl. There was a April Fool's joke where Daryl was moving to Fear the Walking Dead. But anyways. The comic book. Yeah, it's just the same story over and over again.
Well, right? They really did get away from the principal point of it was they were a few people fighting zombies to try and survive. And now it's a few people fighting people with the occasional zombie. And it's just not as interesting.
No. And every story arc in the comic is a new community with a new leader.
Yeah.
And something goes wrong and Rick and the gang
somebody's gotta
take over. Yeah. And this is exactly where it is now. I mean, this community is huge, but the leaders kind of treat people like crap. And so, of course, they want to rebel. And now they're rebelling. And it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
They're blaming Rick and the gang because they just happened to show up when the rebellion took place. It's just the same story over and over again.
Yeah. I talked to one guy, Steve, who used to own Dixon's. And he was like, you know what? They really should have ended that series when Rick said, "We are the Walking Dead." He's like, that should have been the last page of the last book and then move on.
Yeah.
And for a guy who didn't read a whole lot of books, I don't think, I thought that was kind of a profound statement.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to The Walking Dead, the thing that I'm enjoying the most right now is Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's all different people, except for Morgan. Mm-hmm. Morgan's now on. He walked, or somehow.
From Georgia.
Well, you know how on the show they had that time. Well, sorry, on the show they had a time jump, four years. And then I think they had another time jump, like, very shortly after. So Morgan left, and so now the big thing is that, and it's not an April Fool's joke, is that Dwight, who we haven't seen in a while, is now on Fear of the Walking Dead.
Hmm.
He shows up.
Which one's Dwight?
Hello, Morgan. The one with the scar on half of his face.
Half his face.
Oh, yeah, the Negan's one who got the second. Negan ironed him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's moved over there, too.
Hmm.
But there's only three of the original cast from season one of Fear the Walking Dead still on the show, and they're on season four.
Well, it's a zombie TV show. I would expect not too many people to survive.
Like, that's the way it should be. Cast, right? Last season was just a whole recycle of their cast.
How is it possible that more people die in Game of Thrones than they do in Walking Dead?
Yeah.
There should be like a red wedding every freaking episode of you know, like zombie. Kill them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, to some degree, Fear the Walking Dead is the same as the book and the Walking Dead TV show. They find an area, it's controlled by somebody else, crap happens, and they, you know. So
more people die.
Yeah. But for some reason, I don't know, Fear the Walking Dead, maybe because it's different, it's a different area, different people. Maybe that's why I like it more. I don't know.
You like it because of what's her name?
The girl from Lost that drives the monster SWAT truck with the machine guns? Nah. I don't know what you mean.
No but, idea.
Yeah. But the
name her name rhymes with Grace?
Yeah. I can't think of it.
What you got on the screen there, Martin?
I was going to rant a little bit, because imagine that, right?
Yeah.
So I came across a cool Kickstarter for a comic book called Savage Sasquanaut. And this is basically Sasquatch as an astronaut. Like, come on. How can you not want this right away?
Sounds like something Shay would come up with.
Exactly. And if you take a look at the art, I mean, this is top-notch art. This is really good stuff. Like, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
That looks nice. Like, it's not indie at all. This is like something that could easily be published by Image or something like this. So I'm like, okay, cool, Sasquanaut, let's get it. Let's get on this. A fellow named Wes Hartman and another fellow named Gabe Santos. And it's like, let's get this. So I need this book. So I'm looking at 24-page comic. I'm like, cool, let's do this. $33 US for one issue.
$50 Canadian
for one 24-page comic. Now, to be fair, I mean, this isn't Wes's fault, but he's got $18 of shipping from the U.S., and the comic is $15 U.S. Now, you know, I don't know. I mean, most indie comics that we see are $10 Canadian, $5 Canadian, more closer to the $10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, $15 U.S., yeah. But, you know... But. Kickstarter, you're not just buying the book, you're also supporting the creator and stuff like this. So you're kicking in a little bit to the creator to help make the dream happen. So I get that. There's a little extra. And you know, and the Canadian dollar sucks nuts right now, but like $33 US. I think it came out to 47 something Canadian once it got converted. And I'm like, I want this book, but I don't want it that bad.
Yeah.
So I kind of, he posted on the Support Indie Comic Facebook group, and I kind of said, you know, dude, love your book, looks great, I'd really like to buy it, but this is too much, I can't do it. I mean, I just can't justify it. Somebody hops on and goes, I don't know how you can't justify it. I'm like, easily, it's $50.
Yeah.
If I give that $50 to two or three Canadian comic creators in an artist alley, that money goes to supporting more creativity, more, you know, stuff. Like, I'd rather give the money to an independent creator than give it to the U.S. Postal Service or Canada Post.
Yeah.
You know, and again, nothing against Wes and the guys that are running this Kickstarter. It's just the way it is. I mean, he's offering free shipping in the States.
He was very understanding to what you were saying. This other guy.
Wes came back and he made some comments too, like positive comments and stuff. And it's like, you know, you could go digital, and you know my feelings on digital. I like the physical book. I want the physical book.
Yeah.
You know? Absolutely. Like, but I'm not a consumer of temporary goods. I like to have the tangible device. So after my conversation with Wes, I was like, you know what? Okay, fine. So I threw him the $5 US for the digital copy.
Oh,
so
digital. I was going to say, you broke down and bought the $50.
Oh, I can't do that. One
I thought he did the $50 too.
No, hey. Not this year.
It wouldn't be the first time.
It would not be the first time. So, yeah, I mean, if...
It looks fantastic. Excuse me.
Yeah, like it really does. If you're a Yankee and you can get into it, it's Savage Sasquanaut on Kickstarter. Like I said, free shipping in the U.S., $15 for a copy. That's not too bad.
Is he trying to get picked up by like somebody else, or is he just going to keep like producing this way?
No, he's like the ultimate goal here is to just like the Space Bastards comic. The ultimate goal is always to get picked up.
Yeah,
whether it happens or not, I don't know. I mean, Jason Liu went five or six issues before Chapter House kicked in.
Yeah,
So that's always the goal, right? Bigger distribution, more public, you know, more people seeing your stuff, more chances of getting that sweet, sweet TV option deal.
And getting into Diamond.
Yeah, getting into Diamond. Yeah. Although that's not a guarantee these days either. No.
Yeah.
So it just looked fantastic. I mean, just the art. I just love this art.
Well, I was trying to figure out what that guy was going on about horror stories about Canadian shipping.
Well, you see, this is another thing that kind of bugs me. Because there are some Americans... I'm going to get really, okay, there's this stand-up comedian once, and he was like, okay, Canadians, we have to realize that we are not the nice ones. It's the Americans are the nice ones, because when you ask an American what he thinks of Canadian, oh, Canadians are so nice, they're so polite. Then you ask a Canadian what he thinks of an American. So it's actually reversed. We're not the nice ones, they're the nice ones, but... Like, in the collector community, right, with the Mego figures and stuff like this, there's a guy, he gets on his computer, he pushes a button, piece of paper comes out of his printer, he slaps it on the box, he hops on his little rascal and wheels over to the front door, drops it at the front door, and he's done. That's how he ships. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't have to do anything. Whereas if he has to send to Canada, he's got to go to the post office. Oh, my God, he's got to get out of the house. He's got to get down the stairs in his rascal and physical exercise.
But
then he's got to interact with people in line. Oh, my God, no.
Cooties.
Cooties. And then he's got to, like, actually deal with somebody at the post office and then fill out a form. And this is too much effort. But they say that, yeah, like, people send stuff to Canada and gets, like, destroyed and missing and all stuff. I've never had a package go missing.
No, neither have I.
I've been buying from the U.S. since 1999 on eBay. We were just talking about that in the kitchen about eBay. Yeah. And you know, I've had a few packages mysteriously disappear and stuff, but that wasn't, like, I've had more of my stuff sent to the States get parcel theft off the doorstep than anything being sent to me from the States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know what horror stories they're talking about. You know, did they put their comic book, like,
in an envelope?
Yeah, what was Gregory's name? What was his name?
Oh, the one Kickstarter that you got?
Yeah, the guy from the comic book company that does the sexualized fairy tales.
Grimm?
Yeah, Grimm Fairy Tales. Mm-hmm. What company is that? Zenoscope.
Zenoscope. Yeah.
He used to write for Zenoscope. So he went out on his own. He sent this comic book, and it was all like super deluxe and $30 for this limited edition and $20 for this. Bear comics shoved into a paper envelope. They showed up, bashed the snot, like just destroyed.
Yeah.
And I was just like, dude, you're in the business. Yeah. You know, you're not like a first timer. You're not like some antique shop trying to sell a comic book that they think was worth something. They packaged it in diaper box, you know, like,
yeah,
like this, you're a pro.
Even one piece of cardboard would have been
anything, man.
Some of the stuff that I've had delivered to my house, it's just like, oh man, please don't be dead inside.
Exactly. Like, I just don't get it. Somebody sent me, you know, those Treasury editions. I just bought two Batman Treasury editions, dirt cheap, off of some guy from two different antique shops. And the one antique shop rolled it up and put it in a box diagonally because it didn't fit, and then taped it up and sent it. So it was, like, in the box, crushed, because the box was, like, busted up and smacked around, and the book itself's now got a tear in the spine, like, this long and stuff like this. The other antique shop, two pieces of cardboard, comic in between, sandwich, taped, paper on top, sent, came perfect. Yeah. Like, it's not that hard.
No. A little bit of common sense.
Yeah. So I don't know what this guy on the Facebook, I haven't even read that post. I would just give up on that thread. It was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, the right guy's got my $5. I'm going to be able to read the comic. I don't give a two bushnooties about the other guy. They can, like, vent.
Bushnooties?
Oh, man. Have I been called names this week on Facebook? Oh, geez, Louise.
Rough week, eh?
Yeah. Somebody called me a libtard the other day.
A libtard?
Yeah. A friend of a friend, we were talking about, you know, the politics.
Yeah.
How wonderful the politics is going in Ontario and Canada right now, and the disaster that is happening and about to happen and will happen in the future. And I mentioned, you know, I just read some facts.
Yeah.
Read an actual news post before you, like, respond to some stupid meme that you've that has no basis in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy got mad at me because I pointed out, you know, some facts.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's like, oh, because of the carbon tax, my gas went up from 96 cents to $1.24. And I'm like, okay, gas buddy. No, gas right outside your house is $1.19 right now. So you're lying by 6 cents.
Mm-hmm.
You're already exaggerating.
Yeah.
And if we look up historically, oh, gas was 90 something 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The tax just came in.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to whine about the 4 cents per liter hike, but I'm not going to say nothing about the 30 cent per liter hike that happened before, or 20 cent per liter hike that happened before.
Yeah.
You know, so he went on my social media, found me, direct messaged me to call me a libtard. And that I'm a waste of space, and he hopes I'm not voting next time. I'm like, I didn't vote liberal and I didn't vote conservative.
Please tell me you didn't reply to him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no. It went on for, oh, yeah, it was a good one. The mud was flying. I used words other than libtard. I think I put an F in front of it. Spelled it differently with a hard K. Yeah. So we went back and forth. I told him to go back into his urban pickup truck and go stand in line at the Timmy's drive-thru and...
Yeah, I was in Coburg yesterday, and the gas was $1.11. I was like, yeah, I'm filling up here.
Yeah.
So I was kind of shocked.
It was pretty funny.
That picture of Rogue looks like Steven Tyler.
Oh my gosh, that does. What is that from?
I have no idea.
It's pretty bad when Rogue looks like Steven Tyler. So yeah, I gave up on that Facebook post.
She does too, doesn't she?
So let's talk about some more drama.
Okay, more drama.
Major X.
Major X, I got that right here. Oh my gosh, this is hilarious.
So Deadpool / Cable 24 has...
Deadpool Spider-Man.
Or Spider-Man, sorry.
Yeah, so...
24 has a little tiny picture of him, mostly covered or something, right?
Yeah, so what's going on here is Major X, like you guys were talking about last week, is Rob Liefeld's new character. Right. I mean, it's just Deadpool with a helmet. I'll spoil it for everybody now. It's just Deadpool, but...
Well, it's not, but anyway.
It is.
It looks like
Deadpool. Because we know who it is at the end of issue one, so that's all right.
Anyway,
there was two Deadpools in the comic, but
we won't get into that. That's the point. Spoilers. Anyway, so Rob Liefeld figured that somebody was going to screw up and post his character, so he put him in Deadpool 10. Is it?
Well, I think he's just on the cover.
Yeah, he's just on the cover. It's a variant cover, and he put him on the cover because he's like, I know somebody in Marvel is going to screw with me, and they're going to use my character before Major X number one comes out, and it's going to screw everything up.
Yeah.
Well, sure enough, somebody did. Robbie Thompson, who's writing Spider-Man Deadpool, put him in Spider-Man Deadpool 47.
47, yeah. And it's such a tiny, you can barely tell it's him.
So now, of course, the speculators are like, Spider-Man Deadpool 47 is the first appearance.
No, cameo.
It's the first appearance of Major X. It's, and Rob Liefeld's like, no, he's not. It's Deadpool 10. Like, no, that's just a cover cameo. Yeah, and then somebody else is like, no, 47 is just a cameo. It's not a first full appearance. And
So we've got Deadpool 10 is the first cover. Deadpool Spider-Man 47 is the first cameo.
Yeah.
Major X number one is the first appearance.
Yeah, first full appearance. So we got Hulk 181 all over again, where people don't know what the hell's going on.
They are completely reaching, aren't they?
They are totally everything. Reaching.
Everybody's trying to get the biggest nickel back on their book.
Oh. So Rob Liefeld has said, you know what? I'm a bit tired of this. Yeah. And anybody who gives me a copy of Spider-Man Deadpool 47, I will refuse to sign.
Yeah. I think that's funny.
Screw you all. I'm not going to sign it.
Yeah.
I think he should, but like draw like a picture of a bum or something like that, or draw a penis on it or something.
No.
No. Rob Liefeld says this is not the first appearance.
This doesn't count.
Fake news. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Did you notice he's got feet?
I was just going to say that. Like everybody online who are like, oh, look at the feet. You can't draw feet. Are there feet? Oh, feet, oh, there feet, he is. Feet. And these same guys are the ones running out and buying 20 copies of Deadpool Spider-Man number 47.
Oh my gosh.
To flip it.
Is this really? Like, yeah, this is the panel. Look at this. That's him right there.
He's so small.
How can you even be sure that's him?
And he's half, he's three quarters covered by this other guy's arm. Yeah. That's a cameo.
Yeah, that's definitely a cameo.
Like, it's got an X across his face. I don't know.
Yeah.
You sure that's not Cyclops' new costume?
No, that's the guy from Speed Racer.
Speed Racer?
Yeah. I don't know anything about Speed Racer except the mock car, so I don't even know who this guy is.
And the guy from Lost played that character in the movie.
Yeah.
Fox.
What's his
name? Matthew Fox.
Yeah. My kid loves that movie.
Well, it's Speed Racer.
It's Speed Racer.
You know, John Goodman's in it.
It's about as goofy as goofy can be. My wife rolls her eyes every time she walks in and it's on, but.
There you go. So, yeah, there's some drama there, trying to decide what's a first appearance, what's not, and speculators jumping all over the place and overinflating prices. And
Wait till the previews issue that it was in decides to somebody's going to get a 9.8.
Well, that's what I...
CGC
9.8. Like, literally, Rob Liefeld, I tweeted to him. I'm like, dude, nobody's listening to you because they didn't listen to the Hellboy, Mike Mignola, Hellboy creator, who said that... The Hellboy in the, what is it, the San Diego Comic-Con preview thing was a prototype, and that's not Hellboy.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, that's the first appearance of Hellboy. That's worth thousands. You know, and getting it graded and stuff like this. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. It's just silly. Yeah.
About $40 it's selling for.
Already.
Okay, really? Let's talk overpriced stuff.
Iron Man 55.
No.
which I need for my collection.
Isn't that always the way it is? You need one book to complete a run.
And now it's the most popular character. Oh,
it's like the Spawn books that I need to kind of complete my run, because I stopped collecting Spawn for a while. And they're the issues that they're like knockoff issues. So they've
Oh, the homage covers.
Yeah, the homage covers. Yeah. So they've got like Amazing Fantasy 50. They're like, that book is like $60.
That's bananas.
For a book that I need just to complete my run and be done with it. There's nothing special inside.
No.
It's just an homage cover, and people are like, oh, it's got to be special. It's like, oh my goodness. Man, just let me buy my Spawn book. It was $3.
Yeah, like when I got, I'm sure I've beaten this horse to death, but I kind of went on a Bronze Age kick, right? Where I'm picking up all the Bronze Age series from Marvel that I didn't read as a kid. Mm-hmm. And one of the first series I started a couple of issues was Miss Marvel, and I was like, ah, you know what? I'm going to try to get Power Man and Iron Fist first. Because mm-hmm. they were like $2 an issue or something like this. All of a sudden,
boom.
Like, what the heck is going on? I think the one issue I need is like $90. The other issue I need is like $60. I'm like, what happened? They were pennies. Like,
yep. The first appearance of the cat. That's what happened.
Like 3 years ago, they were cheap. It's like Star Wars. Oh. I sold Star Wars number one for $50 and I thought I did great. 4 months later, $250.
Yeah.
Oh man,
It's like stocks. Yeah, don't follow it after you've sold it.
Yeah, exactly. Once it's sold, forget it. Just give up.
Yeah,
move on. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, really, is this like Immortal Hulk number 2? Is it really worth whatever they're asking for it? What are they asking? Like almost $100, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it even important? I mean, like I don't read Immortal Hulk, so.
Well,
what is it? Avengers?
The new version of a Hulk. Avengers.
Just Avengers 26 or something.
Yeah. Is,
whatever. Yeah.
And that, like, some people are saying that Immortal Hulk's probably the best Hulk series in quite a
while. Oh, really?
Well, like, a lot of Marvel fans are saying it's really good. And that's one of the reasons why it kicked up in values, because everybody's like, this is a great book. You got to read this. Issue number one, of course, Marvel, thank you very much, overprinted the snot out of it with 1,000 variants and stuff. Mm-hmm. So everybody's got a copy of issue one, but then nobody ordered issue two. So the print run for 2 is really super low, and that's why 2 is expensive.
But referring should it be to that something
expensive?
Else.
What?
Opening night tickets for Avengers Inc. Like, are people just dumb?
Yep.
Like, you've read the news about eBay, right?
Yeah.
Like, the one was going for like $10,000 or something?
What?
Just for an opening night?
Yeah, but going for isn't going to get it.
I know, but what is going on?
Like, now, some cinemas have the VIP seating with the beer service and all this stuff, and it's part of like some kind of a situation. You're going to get like a t-shirt and a bobblehead and all this stuff. I don't know.
They're not worth the hundreds of dollars that people are paying for them.
Who wrote that terrible article?
Not me.
That lady and gentleman, man, that guy's...
If I had to guess, I'd say Jude... No, it's Rich Johnson. Oh, Rich, come on.
That poor dude needs spell check.
As an editor, you should be able to edit. Anyways.
As a writer, I'm like cringing.
Yeah, exactly. He owns the place. But like, we got our tickets. I don't know if you bought tickets or not.
You know what? I love going to the movies. I just want to be entertained. So we haven't bought tickets. Probably won't see it opening weekend, which is cool with me.
Well, I got tickets because I talked to Chris about it, and the 6 o'clock showing in Peterborough on Thursday is pretty booked up.
Okay.
The 10:30 showing, I still found 2 seats near the middle in the back row.
Oh, really?
Like, the core center is kind of bought out, but the rest weren't.
Okay.
So we're going to see the second showing of the AVX 3D.
Right? Oh, nice.
So it shouldn't be that bad. I mean, I think it's just regional. I think there's just some whack jobs out there. I don't think they're going to actually realize that.
Did you see the one?
Like, he dropped his, this guy says, $850 your best offer, $850 your best offering, but it's free shipping.
There you go.
He'll email
free
the
information. Shipping. Nice.
Like, is it because people are worried they're going to get it spoiled or something?
I don't know. It's a movie. Get over it.
It's 3 hours of your time.
That's right.
Now, the one that's like, 48 hours long? Maybe that might be worth that. I showed my wife that, and I'm like, oh. I would just like to know what a ticket for that costs. Like, it's 48 hours or 46 hours or something?
Yeah.
Right, playing every movie right from Iron Man right up to the new Avengers Endgame. And it was just like, That sounds like a lot of fun. And my wife's like, when would you sleep? I don't know.
It's got to be more than 40.
During Thor.
Yeah, it's got...
yeah, the dark world.
It's got to be more than 40-some-odd hours, because they got to have, like, dinner breaks and pee breaks.
Oh, they'll have... poo breaks. They'd have breaks and stuff, yeah.
You know,
bathroom,
like,
breaks.
They got to have something. Like, somebody bring some nachos or something. Like,
10 minutes between movies or something?
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't
know. Here we go.
Grab your nap, boys. We're going into it.
Or do they just start? They just start from the beginning and they just play.
They wear diapers.
They figure you already own the
bags on
the own the Blu-rays. What the heck?
Yeah,
let's just play it.
Just let her go. Yeah, if you got to go to the washroom, just you're not going to miss anything you've seen it a million times.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now something did flash on my phone. I'm trying to avoid Avengers spoilers. Mm-hmm. Huge. Like I'm just I don't care. I just want to watch the movie. Don't tell me anything about it. I know what it's about. There's not a single trailer that's going to add anything to my motivation to go see this movie.
Yeah.
So I'm just bypassing it. But I did get one of those, you know, on the phones, you get those little wacky news alerts from whatever, Google or whatever. Yeah. And it said somebody had spoiled the end of the movie already. Somebody who claims to have seen it. So I'm like, oh, man, come on, guys. Why are you ruining life for other people?
Just most of us have read the comics, right? Like,
yeah.
Kind of know what's going to happen already.
Well, don't you don't necessarily know. They might not follow it exactly.
Well, I know. Maybe somebody doesn't want to renew their contract so they don't come back or something.
Yeah, well, actually, a lot of the guys aren't renewing their contracts. Mm. Like Chris Evans for Captain America, he's not coming back.
And yeah. But so Spider-Man disappeared, and there's a new Spider-Man movie coming up.
Yeah. Mm. I wonder if Spider-Man's back.
Yeah, maybe he went there to Paris when he disappeared. I don't know. Or wherever he is fighting Sandman or whatever that is. No, Mysterio.
Mysterio.
Have you seen somebody had a picture on Facebook of the poster, and they're like, look, Spider-Man was spotted in the poster, and they have a spot circle, and there's just dust blowing through the circle. Because, you know, everybody looks at the posters and they're all trying to figure out what the movie's all about.
Well, that was the best. I mean, this girl is facing that way. That guy is facing this way. So that means Thor's looking longingly over there at his gay lover. And she's turning into dust as we speak because she's looking at her feet and her feet are disappearing. Like, come on. It's not that much hidden meaning in the poster.
No, it's art.
It's art. Come on. Yeah. Maybe they put a couple of little teeny little Easter eggs in the poster, but it's not like the whole thing is like some psychological, you know, let's get a team of psychologists in here to really mess with you and put all this hidden meaning in these posters.
Like my English teacher in high school.
Yeah.
Well, the last trailer that came out, spoiler, it shows Tony back on Earth. Oh my God! Well, of course it's back on Earth. Like, he's going to spend the whole time in that little shuttle talking to his helmet.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you did.
I was avoiding that trailer.
Actually,
one of my favorites.
You ruined the whole movie for me, Chris.
I saw it like a, you know, one of those little, you know, what ifs. And it's like, what if that is at the end of the movie? So what you think is the beginning is actually the end.
Yeah.
So therefore, if he's on Earth, then that's before he ends up.
Yeah, he spends the whole movie in the little shuttle.
Yeah.
He gets back when it's all over.
Yeah.
It's like, Peter, you're alive. Here's a new suit.
But I did see his new Iron Man suit, though. How it's the red and the gold, like the more traditional 1970s Iron Man. So the coloring looks a little bit more traditional. I think they should have just gone full retro. The rings on the shoulder, the big round glow-in-the-dark thing, the hip discs.
The hip discs.
They should have just gone full retro and just gave him the old suit, but no.
Well, there's a new Lego. They call them poly bags. So there's just a little bag with one figure in it, right? And it's Iron Man from Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the little minifigure is wearing the same jumpsuit that we see the whole team walking through.
The white and blue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, people suddenly online, they realize, like, why is Iron Man wearing a jumpsuit with his helmet on? That doesn't make sense. I guess he can make armor that looks like the jumpsuit, but pull it over his armor.
Whatever works. Have you seen the Darth Maul one? It's Darth Maul's legs. So it comes like prepackaged. and it's Darth Maul. It's Darth Maul's legs. It's literally half a minifigure
so
in a black bag.
Oh, man.
Oh. I you know, very rarely when I see something on Facebook does it make me laugh out loud. And I saw that, and I just like started howling to myself.
Well, I've soiled myself a little bit. I'm laughing my face off. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I don't know if you can actually buy it or if somebody's just like just made this and yeah, but it was Darth Maul's legs. the Lego guy shaking his head.
Oh man. And on that bombshell.
There is one, like when they did the Shazam trailer and it shows Billy jumping off the roof.
Yeah.
And he yells, Shazam! Like, I love that. It gives me chills when I see that for some reason. Yeah. But I do, there's one scene from the latest trailer, I don't think it was in the other ones, where you have Thor standing in front of Captain Marvel and they're just kind of staring at each other, and he lifts out his hand, like right beside her face, and his new hammer comes.
What's
like,
the hammer's name? Is that Stormbringer?
Stormbreaker.
So it comes flying right into his hand. She doesn't even flinch, and then she smirks at him, right? Yeah. I just love that scene. It's like, cool.
Is that when he's like says, oh, I like her?
Yeah, he's like, oh, maybe. No, they don't say a word to each other. They're just kind of staring at each other, and he raises his hand up and just misses her, and she just smirks. Yeah, it's good. I like that.
You know what? That movie was actually a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. All the
Captain Marvel?
I did too.
For all the hate that it got, even before it hit the theaters, like I really enjoyed that movie. Pretty much, there's not too many movies that I've seen comic books movies that I'd be like, oh man, that movie was terrible. There are terrible ones. The last Fantastic Four. I watched it on Netflix, and I watched the first half, and I'm like, okay, I see where and then it's like, wow, this is a whole new movie. It's like, this movie is terrible. Like, it's not even the same movie.
I haven't even watched it for free.
Oh, no.
I haven't even, no.
It's not terrible. The actors are good, but it's just strange. Like, it's watching one movie because they switched the director halfway through. And literally, it's halfway through. So as you're watching the movie, it's like laid out. And then all of a sudden, bam, it's like a whole new direction. And you're like, what the frick? What did you miss? Rewind?
You can tell when the studio got in there and messed things up and when there was interference in the original.
Oh, yeah.
Like, same thing happened with the Justice League. You're like watching it. And it's like, okay, that was a Josh Whedon bit that got added there. That was obviously a Zack Snyder bit. No, yeah, there's Whedon again. And staring at Wonder Woman's butt. That was Whedon, you know. And you could tell, and it's just like the audiences aren't stupid. You can see that stuff nowadays. Yeah. And when other movies raise the bar, like you said, Captain Marvel. As far as I'm concerned, it's not Marvel's best movie. But I said it once, and I'll say it again. Marvel's shittiest movie, like Marvel Studios proper, is better than some other studios' best movies. Like, I would put the worst possible Marvel Studios movie against any of the really great 20th Century Fox X-Men movies.
Yeah.
And it'll blow it out of the water.
Oh, for sure.
Don't tell Adam that.
Hey? They're good.
Adam, I love the X-Men movies, Bishop.
Yeah,
we'll have that debate when he's on air.
But, you know what? I didn't mind the X-Men movies. Now, X-Men 3 was a bit of a...
It doesn't exist.
...disaster.
Yeah.
It was almost like, okay, we have this movie, and let's jam as many characters into it as we possibly can and not give any story, just stick them in there.
Well, the other problem there is if you were an actual 1980s, 1990s X-Men fan, that was the beginning of the whole, wait a sec, that's not the comic books. You're taking you're taking creative licensing there. It's not following. She's too young and he's too old. And we weren't quite ready for that yet. Like some of us are never ready and bitch and complain about that as it is. But others of us, you know, it was like the beginning of that whole like. So I thank the X-Men movies for desensitizing me. Against continuity problems. They don't bother me anymore.
People are already ripping apart Phoenix.
Yeah. Phoenix. Yeah, but I've seen... I've seen some people who saw like advanced previews of the movie and stuff, and they're saying it's a train wreck.
Oh yeah.
So kind of like the Fantastic Four, there's some filmmaking problems with the film.
Yeah.
Either bad writing or bad editing or bad continuity or something like this. Like great performances, like excellent actors and stuff like this, but
just scary.
So I mean, it's going to come out. I'm going to watch it.
Have you been watching Supergirl?
I'm about 3 episodes behind. For some reason, you think my to-read pile is big? For some reason, I'm just like, okay, Arrow, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
It's done in 11 episodes anyway, you know, so I'm sure you can get through it.
I'm done. Same thing happened with The Expanse, right? I was like, oh, you canceled the program? I'm done. And then all of a sudden it's like, Netflix, come out with a new season. I'm like, you bastards. Not going to catch
you
up.
You got to watch The Expanse, man.
Same thing. Like, and there's these huge, massive breaks. Like, how many weeks was it between the last episode of DC Legends of Tomorrow?
Yeah, that was months. Months.
I haven't. We only watched the first couple episodes of that one, and I pretty much stopped watching it after that. I don't know. I just don't sit down and watch a whole lot of TV.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's if you do sit down and watch it, like you either binge watch like the whole stinking season and melt your brain while you're doing it, or you just don't touch it ever again. And so I think it was only into Arrow, pretty much up to where like his whole world falls apart, where his mom dies and all that craziness with Deathstroke, because I love Deathstroke, so I had to watch that season. Yeah. But then Deathstroke wasn't in the next season, so I was like, meh.
Yeah, we're done. So we got about a few minutes left before I hit the end credits here. I just want to close on Doom Patrol. Been trying to watch Doom Patrol. You gave me that little piratey appy thing on my Fire Stick, and the quality is horrendous, and it's driving me nuts. So what did I do is I downloaded them through a torrent.
Oh, that's even worse.
Whole thing. I'm watching them in high def. Everything's great. Get a letter from Warner Brothers and Kojigo saying that I pirated the TV show. No word of a lie. I took the, how much is it for DC Universe? $7 or something like this?
Yeah.
I took the $7 in U.S. bills. I put it in an envelope. I put it in with the copyright infringement thing. I was like, well, come to Canada, assholes. Sealed it up, taped it up, and I put it in the mail this morning.
Nice.
Come to Canada.
Yeah, I've seen the first episode. It was, I like it. It was good.
It was pretty good.
Oh, I think Cloak and Dagger's back, too.
Yeah.
I gotta watch that.
I didn't watch that first season.
Oh, I loved them. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that one.
But Supergirl, back to Supergirl, since I'm not done yet. It's
well, you got 30 seconds. Hurry up.
Lex Luthor, Red Daughter, as in Red Son. It's great. John Cryer is Lex Luthor. He's doing an awesome job.
Yeah.
It's worth checking out for sure.
I'm going to miss The Punisher. I'm so sad.
Yeah, that was good.
I love that show.
All right, folks, that's all the time we got for now. Like I said, we'll be back May 10th. If you're listening live, the streaming and stuff will be a little bit thereafter if I'm not lazy that weekend. You can catch us at heykidscomics.ca. You can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes,
Spotify,
Google Play, and Spotify. And that's it for now. Have fun.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?